Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We are about to dig into some groundbreaking video in the case of the Delphi murders, Richard Allen's initial police interview. This is something that was shown in the courtroom when the trial was going on. Of course, you'll remember Judge Gold didn't let, you know, pretty much anybody go into the courtroom. Very, very few people have ever seen this until now. And I will give credit where credit is due on this. This video was compiled and put together or gathered.
It's not me. You're not going to make me believe it's me. You're not going to find anything that ties me to those murders. So I'm not really that concerned. So-
That's Richard Allen. Crime Circus is where this video is coming to us from. I'm going to guess they did a Freedom of Information Act request to get this video out there. We're going to watch it in its entirety in pieces because there's a lot to break down here. So I'm making this video from scratch. I don't have any intent of saying here's how many videos it's going to be. I'm going to guess two or three probably, or two or three audio pieces here for the podcast where we're going to chop this up and talk about it and get through the Richard Allen interrogation together. Please, in the comments, be sure to leave your thoughts as we work our way through all of this. And press subscribe while you're at it so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case or the many that we cover for you here on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. So without further ado, let's jump into the Richard Allen interrogation video. I'll be pausing, I'll be commenting. And again, I want you guys to leave your comments in the comment section on YouTube as we work our way through this. So here we go. The interrogation of Richard Allen. Let's begin.
The reason we wanted to talk to you is about the Abernathy case. I appreciate your time doing that. And as a formality, before we talk to anybody about these things, I want to make sure you understand you're not under arrest or anything like that, okay? And the door here is open. You can leave anytime you want. I'd be glad to give you a ride back. Or
I want to play
whatever.
So Richard Allen is looking at them almost like when you say something to your dog and they're like, huh? And they turn their head a little bit. He's looking at them as they're saying this and as they're going to continue to say this stuff and be like, what are you guys thinking? Like, why are you saying these things to me? Because he's about to be read as Miranda rights, but he's not under arrest at this moment in time. And I think he's thinking, oh my God, these people think I did this. He just jokingly pretended to get up when he said, you can leave anytime you want. And he just kind of got up out of his seat for a second and laughed. Not the behavior of anyone I have ever seen in an interrogation that is guilty. This is a guy who thinks he's just going to be given information on what he saw that day to help the investigation. This is not the actions, in my opinion, of someone who committed the crime. But again, this is for you guys to decipher as well in the comments. Let's continue on with this video.
We need to make sure if we go cover formality here, and I'm going to get to the page here with this is a Miranda warning. So before we ask any questions, you understand your rights to the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in court. You have the right to talk to the lawyer for advice before we ask any questions and have with you during questioning. If you count report a lawyer, will be appointed for you before you question if you wish. If you decide to answer questions now without a lawyer presence, you have the right to stop answering any time. You also have the right to stop answering any time you talk to a lawyer. Like I said, you're not under arrest, so just want to make sure you understand those rights. Down here at the bottom, it says I read the statement of our rights and understand our rights. I do not want a lawyer at this time, and I understand what I am doing. No promises or threats have been made to me, and no pressure occurs many times to be used against me. If you'd be willing to talk with us, or just if you understand your rights, we just need your signature that we charge. Okay? Okay. Now, this is a formality we take care of whenever we talk to anyone.
We're just going back to the beginning of the case, and we know you had talked to Lieutenant Doolin. We just want to figure out what you saw when you were out there before.
Great, wonderful. Okay. Now, Tony brought up something that you had done when initially you had talked to Lieutenant Doolin. And according to Lieutenant Doolin, the information he got to you was from you was that you were on the trail between 1:30 and 3:30. Does that make any sense? Okay. And that you had parked at the old Farm Bureau building. I think that may have been the old welfare office out there. Well, and while at the Freedom Bridge, you saw three females and noted that one was taller and had black or brown long hair. This is basically what he had written down. Okay. And maybe even got some information about your phone or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. So let me, now you understand everything. So I want to make sure that we just kind of get some information from you. We get started here off of that with today's date, which is Thursday. And today is 10-13 of 22. What time do you have, Tony?
It's 10:45.
10:45. And your full name is?
Richard.
H-A-R-D.
Matthew. Allen.
That's A-L-L-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how old are you now?
50 years old.
Okay. Your date of birth?
9/9/72.
Okay, great. Can I ask you to write down the picture? The X is that right there?
I'm in the 50-year-old club this year, too.
Yeah. I'm beyond that, actually.
So. Just turn. No.
You're already hard to believe.
Again, not getting anything here. This is a guilty man trying to hide something.
Off the top of your head.
No.
Don't worry about it. The home address, I didn't get it when I was out there. What is it?
1967.
67.
Whiteman. Whiteman. Drive.
Okay. And the phone number you can be contacted at?
4533.
Do you have a water? I got one right here, Tim.
Oh, okay, sir. I'll grab that.
And do you have any of their cell phone numbers that you can be contacted by?
I got my wife's number.
Okay, what is her phone number?
612-4753.
Yeah, never dial numbers anymore. You know, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, okay. And how long have you had that phone number that you're, you know, your lost cell number?
Mm-hmm. I believe I got it when I worked at Indy, so it would have been prior to 2006.
Okay.
Because it's an Indy number.
Okay. Okay. So, let's see. And can I ask what kind of phone do you have?
It's an Android, a Google.
Okay. Yeah, what's your email address?
RICK2045@frontier.com.
Do you have any other email addresses? I have a couple myself, so I ask.
I don't use it very often.
A lot of formalities going over here right now, but this
it
shows the humanity of Richard Allen. We've never really had a chance to hear him speak or see his actions. This is just showing what a normal everyday guy he really seemed to be.
What it was.
Okay, great. From social media, do you applications that you use, like Facebook, and all? Do you have a Facebook account?
Oh, my wife does. I don't.
Sounds
It's a very lighthearted right now.
And to see most often.
Very much kind of joking.
Yeah, on her all the time. And she does. Okay. All right. So what is your marital status? Married. Okay. And have you been married before?
No.
Okay. Number of children you were talking about, your kid, your daughter. What's your name again?
Rick. Oh, my daughter. Rick Jr. No, B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y.
Okay. And how old is Brittany now, you said? The math earlier.
28.
28, okay. She's born when, you said?
1994.
94, okay. And what's her last name now?
Zapanta. Z-A-P-A-N-T-A.
Okay. And any grandkids?
No.
Oh, okay. And what's her husband's name? Is he from around here?
He's originally from the Philippines, but lived in Canada, and he's been here shortly before they got married, so around 16, maybe 15, 16, okay. I don't know. They got married in 17.
What's his name?
Paulo, U-L-L.
Okay. P-A-U-L-L?
Oh, I put P-A-U-L-O.
I got it. Okay. All right. So, but he lived here for a while. He never sends a panther being around here.
No, I'm not around here.
Not around here?
No.
Maybe somebody else?
She was already up in Napanee when she met him.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Graduating high school, we're in
North Miami.
What year?
91.
It's interesting, the one of the interrogators has come in and out of this room like four or five times now.
Like a couple of semesters.
What'd you send me there?
Accounting.
Okay. Any other vocational training or?
Okay. Well, I was in the military. But.
Oh, okay. That's the question coming up here. Were you involved in any fraternal organizations, clubs, or athletics, or anything like that in school?
I did some track here and there. I did football for like a year, but nothing serious.
Okay. Any clubs or National Honor Society or something like
that? Oh, no.
Military service, so what branch?
National Guard, Army National Guard.
And what was highest rank achieved?
E5. Sergeant.
Okay, mostly around here? Or
no, it was in, I was born in Brave, not born, but I lived in Mexico most of my life.
Mexico, like
Indiana. Yeah. Okay. You always get that. Yeah, Mexico, Denver. Yeah.
Okay,
it was Mexico.
Yeah, okay.
But it was Peru was where I was in the National Guard at, sorry.
All right. Go to church anywhere?
No.
Have you ever?
On occasion, nothing.
Okay. Well, where did you usually go to? I mean, place around here?
No, not around here.
Okay. Parents go to church, or did you, they take you to church?
No, my grandparents went to church. My parents didn't.
Oh, I see. Okay. Any criminal history? Have you been arrested for anything? Any medical problems? Heart trouble, high blood pressure, psychological disorders?
Oh, yeah. And everything.
Okay.
I've had a heart attack. I've got a couple stents.
Okay.
And
how long was your heart? How long ago was your heart attack?
2010.
Okay, you were 40.
37.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Depression, anxiety, high blood pressure, cholesterol.
Okay. And you're working at CBS. So you said you've been there how many years?
Since, well, not the one here, but with CBS since 2013.
Okay. So you worked in the remote CBS somewhere?
Yeah, I worked in Trinidad Marion, I worked in Peru, and then I came to Delphi, I'm thinking 16. I've been there a while now.
But you said you lived at your house out there since 2000. So you drive back and forth with CBS?
Yeah, I was leaving Walmart. Like I said, I spent 10 years with Walmart. I was actually a store manager at one point with Walmart. Chose to leave the company and do something different and interviewed with CBS. And Peru was the district manager that I interviewed with. Peru was the furthest Western store that he had, or close to Maine. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was going to be working. And it just didn't work out the way that I thought it was long term. I mean, I was there several years. But, I wanted to add a training position, a managerial training position. I told him I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Long story short. And put in the transfer back. And like I said, I'm 16, 17 somewhere.
All right. Well, managing is kind of hard sometimes, I understand. Is there a particular reason why you didn't stay in management, or?
Tired of it. In bureaucracy. Not really being about taking care of the customer. It's more about hitting this number on this spreadsheet and that number on that spreadsheet. They would get the call every 15 minutes if you didn't hit this number on this spreadsheet. And none of them really help you take better care of the customer. You spend your time managing scorecards, and I just had enough of it.
Sure.
I was just tired of it.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Let's see. So from where we're at right now, I think probably... Can you help us understand what was going on Monday, February the 13th? Can you kind of tell us what you were doing that day and every the day of the girls?
Okay.
On the trail.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
I went over to my mom's in Peru, Mexico, earlier in the day. I think my mom had hip surgery back then or something, but regardless, my wife was working, so I went over there and spent the day, not the day, I spent the morning with them. My sisters come over and they were going to go eat lunch and stuff, and I wasn't about that, so I went home, and I remember it was a fairly warm day, or warmer than normal, so... I think I just put a jacket on and went back out to the trails. Usually we had we walk down the high ridge and walk back and walk down the other side and come back. I mean, it wasn't a ritual, but I remember walking down to the bridge. The times, I left my mom's, it was probably around 11:15. So I think I would have been out there, because I didn't do anything else. It would have been around noon, I thought, is when I was out there. Walked down to High Bridge. Always went out just a little ways, not all the way. Went out a little ways and watched the fish. See if I seen any fish down there, because I like fishing. And walked back and sat on the... when you turn around and go down the other fork, there's a bench that overlooks, and sat there for a few minutes and walked down the, walked back out and left.
Okay. Anything else you remember? Where was your parking coming?
Said there was... The big parking lot wasn't there at the time, right?
Oh, you mean which one?
Where the bridge is at, I don't think it was there. So there's a, if you went over behind, there's a back road that went up, and it, there was a bridge, not the main bridge. There was a small bridge where you could park there, or you could park over on the other side. And I remember I didn't park over there where the it's a farmer's entrance or something. I remember I didn't park there because I had told him something about there were a couple vehicles there when I left. So I parked somewhere, either parked over on the bridge side or there used to be a little building there. I could have parked there. There was a trail until they got the whole thing done.
Okay. You're talking about the bridge. Just so I'm clear, you're talking about that big blue bridge, Freedom Bridge or whatever that goes over the highway.
Well, that's the big blue bridge, but before that was there, there was a... If you were going out of town, you would take the road that I think is where the park is. It bears off, it wides off this way, and there's a road, the first road you come, well, I don't know if it's the first road, but there's a road that takes off to the right, and there's houses, and then it just kind of turns into a lane, and there's a small bridge up there before, I mean, I think it's still there if you were...
Like the one, okay, so you're talking about the one-lane bridge kind of that goes
up the street? It wasn't used. It wasn't a bridge that was used, I guess, is what I'm saying. It was just, there was a parking area up there that you could park in.
Okay.
And that's where that's where quite a few people would park before they, I mean, now there's a nice parking space, but before it was either you parked there or you parked over in the farmer's thing. And, I mean, at one point they had it marked that they didn't want you parking there, so it, and I know it wasn't over there because I told him something about some cars that were there, so I would have been parked up on the bridge side of things, I guess is what I'm saying.
I guess I'm lying.
So this is kind of an overview of the area. So obviously this is the Blue Bridge here over the Houston Heartland Highway.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, can you mark on where you think you parked at? Yeah.
Show me the Blue Bridge again.
Blue Bridge, here's the Hoosier Heartland Highway. Here's Main Street, the road that comes out from downtown, goes out onto Heartland. And here's the Andersons. I think that's going to be their fertilizer plant. And down there's the...
Oh, that's the Blue Bridge. I mean, it's right there. It would have been over in here somewhere, probably.
Well, that's one of the parking areas. Okay. And then they used...
Or it would have been... There was a old building somewhere... Over
this map was taken back when the building was still there, and this is the building that was on the bridge, the trail side of the bridge.
Okay.
So down at
you went right this way. Path. I think you went down this way and like there was an underpass or something.
Yep, that's right. And then there's a building right there. You can see it.
Okay. So it would either been there or there.
Okay. All right. Very good. Which way do you think you would travel to get to this building that particular day, Carver?
Just that way that loops around.
Okay.
I don't know the names of the roads or anything. I can show you where I drove, but it just on the way the road that goes out, it's basically the same way that you get to this one, except now it's further up. And you go down, and it, like, comes down and goes around somewhere and comes over on the other side.
Okay, very good. Okay. Was it ever an occasion where you might have gone to the park another way? Did you go out here very often, I should ask?
Not, like, I wouldn't say often. I mean, we go out. We may go once a month. We may go twice in 1 week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just kind of one of those where when we felt like walking the trail, we'd go. I mean, I could say we visited it regularly during the summer months. We didn't really go out there much in the winter. We may have gone out a time or two. But.
Right. Okay. So was it ever something, was there ever a time that you guys took another path to get out there besides going around this way? Or do you remember anything like that?
I think there's a way if you go past where you park the farmer's entrance that I was telling you about?
I think that's down here. It was an entrance across from a residence that's a farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know that there's a way that winds around, and you can eventually get back to 200 or whatever road it is we're off of, 200 North, I think it is. It comes out somewhere down there, but we only did that. I think we found that by accident one time. We thought we'd go that way and try to get back, and it was, we eventually came out that way somewhere.
Okay.
But no, I wouldn't, if we were going to go there, we would go down through town and,
okay. Good to know. All right. So let's talk more about what you remember being, remember doing that day, remember seeing that day.
Okay.
You gave an account to the officer who talked to you. And you remember how that was prompted, how that happened, that you happened to talk to the officer?
I don't remember if it was the next day or a couple of days, but shortly after they were asking for anybody that was there to come in. So I went down. I got home from work, and my wife said, you know, they want to talk, because I had obviously told her that I was there. And she said they want to talk to anybody who's down there, may have any information on how much, but I obviously will go down. So we went down to the sheriff's station, and I don't remember who it was, came out and talked to me and said that he would get my name and information. And then I was driving downtown for something, and I know that, remember, he called me when I was in the car because I pulled over and talked to him. It was a DNR officer.
Okay.
And he asked me if I could come down and talk there or if I want to meet somewhere. And I don't remember how or why. I think they were really busy, obviously, crowded probably. So I was heading down to, it was the Save a Lot parking lot down there, and I told him I would just meet him there if that was okay. So he came down, we talked. He looked at my phone, took my phone information, and I think got some, we took the battery out and everything, and he got information on him, so that's pretty much it. And, I mean, I gave him the account. Forgive me, I mean, it's been years, and I thought about it a lot. As time goes on, like I said, I think I was there probably around noon. It could have been a little before noon or a little after noon. Walked down, back an hour, so probably 1:30, 1:45, depending on exactly what time it was that I got there that day. I just remember walking down the trail, and I told him that when I was approaching the trail, the trailhead, I guess is what I'd call it, there was three girls walking off the trail, and I just remember it looking like one of them was probably watching, not babysitting, but watching the other two, because they looked a little younger, and they looked very similar. I don't know if they were sisters or whatever, but the other one didn't necessarily, but I remember seeing them walking off the trailhead, and I didn't really see anybody. I walked down, like I said, I look at the water, I walk back, and I sat, I mean, somebody could walk behind me, I guess, but I sat on that bench that overlooks the creek bed and all that, and I remember telling him, when I left, I remember there being, I think there was two vehicles down there on that farmer's entrance that I told you about, and that's why I know I didn't park there, because
no,
obviously, I wouldn't recall seeing cars there if I parked there.
The farmer's interest, are we still talking about this area here, or is there some other location?
This is a Crown's Office presentation.
There's a pull-in, like right next to the trail, is all I can tell you. There's a pull-in right next to the trail, and a trail actually leads up to the trail.
Yeah, it's hard to see from here, but I think right, this is what's called the old mirrors.
There was a farmhouse across from it, is all I knew.
Right.
And it was like a, I mean, I guess it looked like where you take farm equipment in and out or something, but okay. I know at one point they flagged it that it said no parking, so we didn't park there for a period of time. But
let's pause it there, and we'll pick up in our next part in the series as we continue to break down the police interrogation of Richard Allen. This is an interrogation that took place way after the fact. This is close to the area where they... they start getting to the arena of arresting him. Keep in mind, it had been many years since the crime took place, since he went to the authorities when they asked for people to come and say, hey, who was there? What do you know? He went and did that. So when we were hearing them talking about that, that was referring back to that moment in time. This is 5-6 years after the crime actually took place. The girls were killed. So asking anyone, especially if you didn't have anything to do with this, you know, your exact time windows of that day, your estimates may be off. They may be on. I mean, he was I felt he was being very genuine of like, let's say 1:30, 1:40, somewhere in that area. What was your thought? What was your thoughts on the whole piece there? As we're going to continue to break this down, because there's a lot to talk about in this interview. That's why I'm going to break it into different pieces. I thought it was interesting. Talk of three girls coming either on the trail or off the trail that he noticed. Three. Now, again, this might not even be them. It was a nice day. There was a lot of people out there. But as we know, it was Abby and Libby that were out there. So who's the third, if that's part of the group? Or was that not part of the group at all? We have a lot more to break down. Let me know in the comment sections what your thoughts are thus far, and we will continue to work our way through the police interrogation of Richard Allen that eventually leads to his arrest. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case and all the cases we cover for you right here on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
So they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed. In the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.